All right, happy Father's Day. You know, it's not quite as popular as Mother's Day, you know, but moms get all the good stuff. But you know what? We all know why. They deserve it. So, and I don't think any father begrudges that at all. So they deserve those things. But this is Father's Day, so we're going to do something a little different. You know, Mother's Day has all these sayings, you know, about, you know, when mom ain't happy, nobody's happy, and there's different versions of that group. Well, you know, guys have that too. Now, we're only going to talk about it today, then it'll be forgotten. So, but there are things, you know, there are things like, whenever possible, please say whatever you have to say during commercials. Shopping is not a sport. We are never going to think of it that way. Sunday, after church, is sports. And no, it's like, you know, it's like the full moon and the changing of the tides. Just let it be. Yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers to almost every question. Now this one, I'll give you some slack. Please check your oil. Please check the oil. I don't expect Joni to check the oil. Now, you might say things like, turn the oven off. Did you turn the oven off? Did you take the lint out of the dryer? Did you turn the lights off? Not that I've used all of those, but could happen. All right, anything we said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all past comments become null and void after 7 days. So you can't use those anymore. If something can be interpreted in two ways, and one of them makes you sad or angry, we meant the other one. So bear that in mind. If we ask what's wrong and you say nothing, we'll try to act like nothing's wrong. We know you're lying, but it's just not worth the hassle. All men see in only 16 colors. So like computer settings, the colors, you know, peach, for example, is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkin, also a fruit. We have no idea what mauve is. Don't ask us what mauve is. And the last one, Christopher Columbus did not need directions, and neither do we. So now forget everything I just said. So in 7 days, that's right. It won't count anyways. So we're going to read Psalm 112 today. It's just 10 verses. We're going to, it goes for all people, but we're going to look at it at fathers today. So 112, Psalm 112. We're going to kind of break down what that is. It's kind of a character trait of fathers we could use it as. So Psalm 112, 1 through 10 says, praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. So again, I want to use this. You know, it says, blessed are those who fear the Lord and find great delight in his commands. And again, we're going to use this for fathers today. You know, fathers who fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord. Those fathers who are in awe of just the God of all creation. You know, those who approach him in love, but with reverence and respect and faith and trust in who he is. Those who submit to God's will and ways and delight in it. They enjoy being in that presence. They enjoy that relationship they have with Jesus Christ. That's where we start. Then we see fathers, you know, that's all personal gain right there. That relationship is for us. But we see results of that in a lot of different ways. You know, it starts out, it says their children will be mighty in the land and the generation will be blessed. You know, to raise up our children, be blessings. If we bring them up in God's ways, we have that responsibility. We have the voice. We're the living example to them, to bring them up following God in righteousness. You know, guiding them to be gracious, guiding them to be compassionate, to be generous. Help them to understand fairness, but along with justice, and that both are beneficial and good. You know, God wants the things of God passed down. And men have the authority to do that because we have the responsibility to do that. And we will be held responsible by God to do that. You know, those who aren't obedient, those who don't have the relationship with God, they'll pass down things too, but that life may look a little bit different. And I'm not going to say this is in every case. It's not, but it's in a lot of cases. That many times when we fail, when fathers fail, our families fail. When fathers fail, we see broken homes. We see divorces. We see poverty. We see alcoholism. We see abuse. And many times those things are passed down through generations until somebody breaks that cycle by submitting to God, by coming to know God in their life and their presence and obeying Him and serving the way of life that He desires us to have. It all starts with the fear of God, that reverence of God, knowing who He is and how powerful He is. And then we can overcome, the Bible calls them curses, you know, the curses that's handed down from fathers who didn't know Him, that didn't do the right things. We can overcome that with our relationship with Christ and our obedience to Christ. And we can show the joy we have in that relationship as we teach and pass along God's words and His ways and how He would have us to be. It says wealth and riches are in their houses. I'm sure a lot of you know having God and being financially wealthy is not always the case. Despite what some preachers may tell you, it doesn't always work that way. You can have God and be financially poor, while others that don't have God are financially wealthy. We see it all the time. But I can guarantee those with God will grow into a richer life. They'll obtain things much more valuable than money. So we need to say, what are we teaching our kids in that matter? Are we teaching our kids to be richer in life? Or to have a richer life? Which way are we going? Are we building for now? Or are we building for that eternal inheritance that God has for us? Colossians 3, 23 and 24 tells us who we're working for. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. That's who we serve. You know, we need to know who the boss is. We need to enjoy our work because, you know, the retirement benefits are out of this world. They're literally out of this world that you're going to get. You know, it says even in hard times, the light will return. You know, when things seem bleak, when there are financial difficulties, when poor health hits, when just plain old bad decisions lead to bad consequences, still there's God. He's still there. You know, kids always, you know, walked around, you do that loser. You know, the grandkids always tease, loser, loser. I go, winner, winner. Put the W up there, winner. You're still a winner with God. Because God calls us to persevere through those things, to be overcomers. And the Spirit helps us to do that. You know, good times are great blessings, but testing brings growth. That's when we grow. Some have trouble with the testing part. I was mowing the grass here a while back, and we have on the south side of the house a little, about this wide of wildflowers and stuff that grows, and I'm mowing up there right up next to it, and all of a sudden, all I see is wings right beside me. A duck was sitting in there. It's gets out of there, and she flies off, so okay, well, I keep going, make my rounds, go around the back, make big circles and stuff, come back around, and soon there again, I get too close, and she's in there again, flap, 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 she comes flapping out. So, well, maybe I'll do that area first. Well, she comes back that next time with Dad. So she brings the dad duck back. Well, the dad duck's not too fond of the John Deere tractor lawnmower. So he comes down, he's flying with her. Now he comes down, it's kind of like when you're learning to fly, they have those just touch and go. That he pulled a touch and go. not for me, touch and gone. Never to return. And Mama stayed. You know, she walked around the other part of the yard keeping an eye till I was done with her section before she returned to the 11 eggs that were laying in the nest there. But sometimes we have fathers like that. They don't hang around when things get tough. You know, when obstacles come up, they flee. They don't take responsibility. They don't be the father, the man they're supposed to be. We have that problem today. Therefore, we have kids that aren't guided right. We have families that are broken. And the moms have to step up and do the work of both. Now, Romans 8:28, you all know Romans 8:28, I think. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. First thing is we know. You can know that in all things, God works for the good. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You can actually know. And all things may not seem pleasant at the time, but all things are for the good of those. Now, again, there's a caveat. Those who love him, you got to be part of him. He's got to be in your life. If not, there's just bad things probably going to happen because you've decided to do them, and there are consequences to those things. But all things are going to come to good because you're either going to learn something or you're going to be able to share with someone else. So we do need to teach. We need to teach love. We need to love others. We need to treat others fairly, it says, even if you aren't. Even if you're not treated fairly, treat others fairly. Help others when you can. Sometimes you don't know what's going to happen, but you just trust God in the results. You just do what you're supposed to do. Help others when you can. He's in charge. He's in charge. And if you're giving in his name, you're giving for him, that draws blessings. You're going to get rewarded for that. You're going to feel, he's going to bless you with that. Your spirit's going to tell you that you did good. I want to get a pat for those things. That doesn't mean, you know, we can't be wise, we can't be prudent, but we shouldn't fear, we shouldn't worry about those things. We should leave those up to him. Because God gives us peace in all those things too, if we have the right relationship with him. No matter what happens, all is well. All is good. Because God's over it. If you want to be remembered for the righteousness. Be remembered for the things you did in his name, for being a godly person, an example of Christ. God will remember you forever. He'll put a name on you. He'll make a home for you. You know, don't fear bad news. You're going to get some bad news. Don't fear bad news. Trust in the Lord. You know, in life, are you optimistic or are you pessimistic? You have a choice, and it's yours to make. Is the glass half full or is it half empty? Well, with God, there's always something in it. There's always something in it, and it's generally enough. A lot of times more than we need. He's gracious to give it to us. There's no fear in a secure heart. It talks about a secure heart. Because we know how things will turn out. We know the end. The story's already written. We know we have a secure future with God and family, even as we draw closer to home. You know, He promises we're marked with the Holy Spirit. You know, a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. He doesn't change His promises. John 14:27 is the last verse here. Almost the last verse. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. There again, you've got gifts. You know, give them freely to everyone who needs it. You've been given things to share with others. You know, to share physical gifts you have. To share spiritual gifts you have. Share those with others. Be a good God the Father example to other people, especially your children and your family. You know, righteousness endures forever. It doesn't go away. It's always there. It says your horn will be lifted up. Different definitions, but I believe it's talking about your godly character. The way you are, the way you act, the way you handle yourself, the way you share with others, the way you teach with others. And when you hear, well done, good and faithful servant, we are going to have I always say invitation time. That's when everybody knows I'm about done. So invitation time is coming when they're welcome to come up. They say, we have an altar. We don't have a stage. We have an altar. But you're welcome to come and pray about anything that you feel the need for. But a couple more verses. Proverbs 22:6. Again, for the fathers. It says, start children off on the way they should go. And even when they're old, they will not turn from it. Now, teach them when they're little. You know, they're listening. They're absorbing more than you think maybe they are. And they'll go through some rough patches. You know, everybody goes through the cycle, you know. They start learning when they're little. Then they get smart. Then mom and dad don't know so much. And then they end up, mom and dad get smarter a little later on. But goes through the cycle. But as they go through troubles, they'll remember those things, that foundation that they've had. In Luke 12:48, and I'm just going to read the second half of that. It says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Well, fathers and mothers have a special calling. And fathers have, as I said, been given the authority to teach and train the next generation and to be a living example for them. And fathers have been truly blessed by God for children and grandchildren. But we've been entrusted to provide godly wisdom and a living example for our children. And we're to prepare them not just for now, but for eternity. You know, prepare them for all time. We're entrusted with much as a father. We're entrusted with the lives, a family, those around us. So as we come, I want you to think of the, you know, as we sing this last song, you know, look, you know, how am I as a father? You know, am I teaching them to be rich in life, or be have richness of life? You know, how's it going? Am I teaching them to be fair, or am I teaching them both sides, the justice part of it, which is fair? You know, am I teaching them to know eternity, what that means? Just think of you as a father, or think of your father, you know, how they affected your life, or your grandfathers, how they affected your life, because they all did. And then think of your Heavenly Father, and things He's done for you, and the effects He's had on your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for just this short chapter, Lord, that